We're the Bungie Kids with plasma pistols glowing. It's our podcast show with Brian and friends
and Frankie. Two, one. Welcome back, everybody, to the Bungie Podcast.
What the fuck?
What's with this countdown now? Since when do you start doing that professionally? All right, we got the intro. We're back.
Back to the Bungie Podcast. We have in the studio today Brian Gerard. Hello, Brian.
Hello.
Luke Smith.
Yes.
And a special guest today, Mr. Dave Dunn, art manager and lead environment artist on Halo 3, right?
Yes. Hello, folks.
Welcome.
Wow, I thought you were going to ask a question.
So did
I. I mean, you guys have been around here for a while, all of you. And aren't you going to talk about the thing we announced that we haven't talked about, Sketchy?
By the time this podcast comes out, that was like 6 months ago news, right? Because we missed that news with our last podcast.
Well, because we were scared to talk about it, the last one, in case.
Well, bring us up to speed, Frank. What's going on with Bungie news?
Bungie is now an independent LLC, privately held. We are our own company. We have a publishing deal with Microsoft Game Studios, and we continue to support the Xbox 360. That's it in a nutshell.
And amazingly enough, the water now tastes a little better.
And the grass is a rich, green, verdant, beautiful green, yeah.
And Don Matrick canceled our golf game.
I'm still a huge Don Matrick fan, though. I just got to get a plug in for Don
Matrick. Podcast is a little bit shorter now, a little bit more mono than it was before. But it's all
is
good.
Is it mono now?
No, it's not mono. It will never be mono.
Okay. Good.
Somebody was trying to make our podcast mono last week, and we rebelled.
Yeah, we were actually at a local establishment Friday after work with Dave Dunn and some other fine Bungie folk, and got to reminiscing and talking, and Luke thought it'd be great to invite Dave on the show today, so here we are.
Well, thank you.
Welcome, Dave.
You know, by the way, in November, it'll be my 10th anniversary at Bungie.
Wow. What do you get? What do you get for 10?
You know,
Thong?
I don't recall really getting anything. I think, you know, at that point, at 5, it's exciting that you've been loyal here. At 10, we're like, why the hell have you been here so long? How do we get rid of you?
Because you get something after 5 years, right?
Yeah, you get some custom designed special stuff.
Yeah.
And most importantly, it marks the end of your 5-year grace period.
Yes. And a little show put on in front of everyone to induct you into that club.
Really?
10 years.
Ten, yeah.
Well,
ten years.
You can laugh. I mean, Dave is a fixture, but you're going to be a 5-year guy pretty soon.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
actually
not that far.
This December.
Yeah. So doesn't that sound a little weird?
Well, and you're right after me.
I'll be dead before that. Okay. Sure.
Actually, I heard in years where they have a 10-year person along with the 5-year person, the 10-year person is allowed to give the 5-year person an atomic wedgie in front of everyone.
Really?
I thought you were going to say a Zerbert. Okay. Like a nice Zerbert on your belly sketch.
Luke's coming up on his 5-month.
Oh, there you go. Then the 5-year guy can do that to the 5-month
guy. Just cleared it.
We got the whole spectrum here.
Yeah.
Did he just make a Bill Cosby sexy times belly reference?
Oh, I missed that.
He did. That's just wrong.
Do you want to play the picture pages thing?
No, I don't. No, get off.
So take us back 10 years. What were you doing at Bungie? What was happening 10 years ago?
10 years ago, I guess when I jumped on, we were and I didn't jump on for this in particular, but we were testing the internet code for Myth, and I know that because I was basically living in Chicago. Took a job with this company, Bungie, which I didn't know a ton about, to go to California in San Jose to join the small club of people that were going to make a new game for Bungie, and that was Oni. And so the first thing I do when I get there, and I used to work at an architecture firm, and it's pretty, you know, big firm, 300, 400 person, pretty corporate, you know, you come into work, and I show up at this little teeny office in San Jose, and I'm like, the hell's this? We're playing video games all day. But I guess that was part of testing. We were testing the code for Myth.
Wow. So I never would have guessed you came from a structured corporate environment with a team of 300 to 400 people.
I used to be, I wasn't straight-laced there. I won't say that. I was known as the guy that took casual Friday into all the way back into casual Monday.
And so casual Friday, that's when you dress inappropriately for the rest of the week, right? Is there any clothing stories you want to share with
the
children of America, Dave? Anything you've got on your record that you want to expunge?
Nothing particularly, the past.
No interesting
is the
black
past.
Marks.
At Bungie, you instilled like Chaps Monday.
Chaps Monday was
leather
a good
vest
one.
Tuesday.
The hat, silly hat day.
Hat Wednesdays.
I am known for some of my
thong Thursdays.
Sartorial excesses. Undresses.
You got to do what you got to do to keep the
gotta
troops.
Keep it fresh.
You got to keep the
aired.
Troops excited. Yeah.
So you're an architect prior to joining Bungie?
I have an architecture degree from Virginia Tech.
You and Chris Carney.
Yes, and Mike Wu has an architecture degree.
Well, why is Carney the only one that gets all the props for the guy that went from making the real worlds to virtual worlds?
He gets those props now, but I was the original poster boy for Bungie spinning some horrible, horrible thing. When I joined, we were doing Oni. Doug Zartman was like, "This is great. We're gonna like spin up this thing. We got real world architects making our levels for Oni." And I'm like, I have a degree, and I've worked at an architecture firm for three years.
You build cathedrals by the dozen, right?
Yeah, exactly. I've worked on laying out ceiling tile plans for bathrooms and things like that for giant hospitals.
Isn't that a grid?
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, you just determine where the grid is going to be. You figure which corner you start that grid on, right? And then where they're going to have to cut the ceiling tiles. And so I'm like, I don't know, like that whole idea of like, you know, he's like, no, this is great. Well, people will love the idea. It's real life, real life, real world architects. So I'm like, all right. And lo and behold, I showed up and that was great, but we didn't really have any designers at that time. So I just started making buildings and then, much, much later on in the project, we get some designers on board and we're like, okay, these are buildings.
Yeah,
but
the buildings
like,
you have to work with.
What about gameplay? I'm like, well, gameplay? I'm like, I don't know anything about that. So
and the
it was a good learning experience.
Is that when the designers were like, let's just put some crates here?
Yeah, there's always like, we'll sprinkle a few crates over here.
Dude, we were talking about this the other day. Oni, for its time, was way ahead of the curve. It had a lot of stuff that was really innovative. And
there's still no parry, like Tyson, I think, was saying. Like, still, there's some systems in Oni.
Have you played Oni yet? I know that you were a little young in those days.
I think I was eight.
It still has the best, for my liking, the best like third-person combat for any, and I this is a real qualifier, but any sort of Tomb Raider-style game. Like, it was really fast and logical, and it just felt natural.
You know, a lot of people have only played it on the PlayStation, and I really, every time I hear that, I'm like, oh.
The Mac version, that's the one.
Yeah, the Mac version, and so when we would play in the office, and we had, for a while there, we had multiplayer working. We'd play LAN, and we even were, testing networking code. We quickly realized, okay, the network connections that existed at that time in 1998, when we were sort of, I don't think we had that point, killed the networking code yet. We're like, this is just, it's just too slow. But doing it in LAN was pretty cool, but then we also just didn't have the horses to get it all done. But when we used to play in the office, that was amazingly fun. Like, we had a little arena that we would run around in and beat the crap out of each other. And I think the best thing that it did was, without a doubt in my mind, the animation system that Steve Abeta and Michael Evans worked on was just phenomenal. Those two guys were so good, and it made it a lot of fun.
So Bungie West, as it was known?
Bungie West, yeah.
And you guys had a team that I think grew, and a lot of people that went on to become integral parts of the Halo...
Halo
phenomenon, including yourself,
came out of
the bowels of Bungie West.
Yes, absolutely. The funny thing was, Bungie West was very different from the Chicago office, from everything that I've heard and seen. We had long hair and we used to toke it up and hang out in the parking lot of Del Mar High School.
Used to smoke clove cigarettes,
in the parking lot of a high school?
Yeah, that's where our building was. It's right. Actually, okay, honestly, we didn't hang out in the fountain, but we used to like sit and look through our windows and watch all the kids that hung out in our parking lot, because we were right across the street from, and right. in California, all the high schools are like open, you know,
that's like Saved
corridors.
By the Bell.
Oh, it was, yeah, I was, and I was like Zach, man, I'd walk around and I was like, hey kids, you know, like, and I took my turn with, like, you know, just like Zach, I had a little bit of Jesse, a little bit of Kelly, so and a little bit of Lisa later on.
That sounds right. hardcore. Yeah, who was Slater in this setup? I mean, we all know who Screech was, but who was Slater?
Yeah, well, you know, that's a good question. I don't. Did we have a Slater?
Didn't Bungie West?
I mean, Screech was definitely Seropian. I mean, he'd come out there and he'd be like, "Hey,
what wasn't?" You know, I've heard,
and he's got the sex tape out now too, right?
So catching up. Yeah. I heard so many awesome stories about that could have come out of Bungie West, but I remember one awesome story about a young, wide-eyed
Butcher,
fresh off the boat, Chris Butcher, showing up there.
Butchie's my. He's my boy. I love Butchie, but when he showed up, it was comical. I actually was the one I guess Steve Abeta picked him up at the airport. I remember dropping him off one time flying home, but picks him up at the airport, and this kid gets in the car, and we're just like, wow, he looks like he's 14, right? I mean, I doubt he had shaved or anything at this point.
He probably was. He got his PhD at 14,
I think,
right?
So, I think he was. And so he's like, hello, sirs. And, you know, he meets us all.
It's like Doogie Howser of gaming.
Yeah. The we take him, you know, we take him to the office, and, you know, immediately you're like, this kid is great. I mean, he's doing all sorts of wonderful stuff with the code and all that. But, like, one of my favorite times was we used to always go down. We'd go out to lunch. We'd go down the road to Taco Del Mar or whatever the place is down in the San Jose. I can't remember which one it is. And I remember we go in there and, you know, we're ordering, and Butchie's like, like Spanish food. And he starts talking, and he's like, he says something to the guy, and the guy who's working behind the counter, you know, is of Mexican descent, and he's speaking with a really thick accent. Those two could not understand. And of course, us being the jackasses, we're not trying to help. We're just laughing, and Butchie's turning red face. He's like, "Fuck you, Dave!" You know, he's like getting a little upset.
What was he trying to order?
You know, he wanted some sort of, like, what the hell?
He's
was
trying
that?
To
I
think order some sort taco. Of
taco, lamb tacos.
He was. He was trying. It was some sort of, like, yeah, you know, kangaroo. You know, like,
oh my god.
Oh, I'm sorry, Butchie. That's Australia.
No, keep it up.
All right. But, so Butchie was definitely, that was an eye-opening experience for young Butchie to
come in.
Didn't
he fall asleep in a field?
Yeah, I heard that too.
He
couldn't even make it. He couldn't even make it home.
Oh, yeah, there was times I was worried.
His apartment was, like, almost on property of the office, right?
Yeah, he was right there, and basically he was either at work or he was on his way to and from work. Yeah, I don't think he did much else.
And he just slept in the grass field. And
pretty much, he just laid down. And I did take him. I did take him for his. I was also proud to say that I had him experience his first ever Thanksgiving. I took him up to my sister's house in El Cerrito, and he met my brother-in-law and sister. And
he took him through the I'm an expatriate Brit. Yeah. I'm Scottish, and my first Thanksgiving, I was. So complicated, the rituals that you go through.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereby, like, you eat and drink beer and watch football and then fall asleep.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
once you get used to it, you can do it.
And then you wake up and have a sandwich.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no.
And then you go back to sleep.
Yeah. It's good, yeah. So I remember I took Butchie to buy his first bed.
What a great ambassador.
Oh, really? Is there any
yeah,
more
Butchie,
stuff?
Yeah, Butchie, you know, it was
funny.
You
took him under your wing. You really made him into the man that he is today.
I like to say, you know, and, you know, sometimes around the office, things would get a little bit out of control late at night, you know. I remember one point, one night, we were about finished, and somehow Stephen Abeda and I used to talk a lot about things that we should do. And somehow Hamilton and Steve and I were talking, and I came up with the idea that we were going to do a TV sitcom, and it was going to be called The Bees. And the reason I was going to call it The Bees was Alex Seropian was out there in the office. And this was around the time those Ameritrade commercials came out with that guy, the red hair, the mohawk, and he's like Stuart, you know? And I think that was his name. And he'd be like, Mr. B, come in the office, like, Mr. B, you're going to do it. So I started calling Alex Seropian Mr. B, and Alex didn't like you to touch him, and I'd always be touchy. I'd like be coming over here and slapping him, and he's like, yeah, get off. And so he became Mr. B, and then I was like, and Butchie, you know, because his name is Butchie, I'm like, he'll be Baby B, and then I'll be I'll be Stuart, the kind of crazy son. And Alex is like, what the hell are you talking about? And then it just, we started riffing off that. Like, we'll have the episode when Baby B, you know, Butchie gets hooked on methamphetamines, you know, right. like, how about the episode when I'm like, yeah, and how about the episode when I like sleep with Mama B and then you come in and I'm all oiled up because I'm working out. And he's like, no, I don't want, and it's like, we should stop this conversation. I'm like, oh, come on now. And then like, how about when Butchie finally discovers that, you know, that he's the opposite sex and all those other things. Yeah.
Wow. So
Kiwi surprise.
Some things have changed. Some things haven't changed so much.
Yeah,
I was more referring to your ability to bring humor and shenanigans to the studio now.
Yeah, you gotta do what you gotta
so
do.
Oni was wrapping up, and that's about when Microsoft stepped in and bought Bungie at that point.
Yeah, it
right?
was funny. The I don't know whether they were doing this to shield the guys from the Chicago office or whether or not. It was just easier to have all the dealings happen in the California office. But for the most part, that's where they would bring builds of Halo out and bring the Microsoft poobahs down to check out stuff in the Sony office. So then we got a good, you know, we had a good grasp of what was going on. I got to play. Like, it was fun the first time. We were like, hey, it's this third-person game. I'm like, oh, okay.
And then the next
thing, you know, hey, when did it go to first person? Like, what are you guys doing over there? But it's kind of neat.
The reason they did it in California is because if you've ever been to Chicago, there's only 2 days of the year where the weather is actually pleasant enough to even set foot outside. So
yeah,
that's blasphemy to be speaking around these parts.
Every time I go there, it's a million degrees below or above.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it was. You know, I enjoyed it the 3 years that I lived there before. You know, but it was very funny to take a job with Bungie and immediately move. So I never worked in the Chicago office. Took a job right away, went to California.
So you just interviewed there and then went straight to...
I didn't even interview there. They flew me out to interview with the guys in California.
Makes sense.
You went to a really nice restaurant for that, didn't you? You had like a whole really nice experience and...
The interview?
Your interview, I think, yeah.
Well, yeah, I think if I recall, we had... who was... At that time in the office was just Brent Pease, Michael Evans, and Alex Okita. I think there was... And Kevin Armstrong. And... yeah, I flew in, and I'm like, well, okay. My interview that I'd had at Perkins & Will, architecture firms, you know, I go in there, and I got a shirt and tie on and all that. I knew enough research. It's like, okay, I'll dress sort of casual, button-down shirt and pants. And I show up, and this place is a total shithole. I mean, I'm like, what is this? I'm like, what am I doing? And these guys are like, hey, you know, how's it going? I'm like, good. And I proceed to talk to each one of them separately, you know, about... what I know about games, and which was at that point very little, what I knew about, you know, some rendering programs, which was, you know, fairly a good amount, and then what I knew about design, which was really, you know, what I was there for, you know, design of virtual spaces and all that. And we finish up, and I'm like, okay, I think this is going well. And then we went next door to Sam's, the place that we always go to get barbecue for forever, but or either that or they ordered. I can't exactly recall how that went. But the day in itself, what I remember about the day was that was like, you know, after 2 hours, you've talked to all four people. It's done. But they had me stay the entire day and just kind of sit there. And then they're like, all right, well, that part's done. Let's see how you are at GoldenEye. I'm like, what? And so then they're having me play GoldenEye. I flew back. I'm telling people back that I work with, like my interviewer, they're like, the hell kind of place were you talking to? I don't know. And then when I took the job, they're like, you're gonna go do that? And I'm like, well, we'll see. And then it was funny, like that. And then about a year later, Doug Zartman got me into this article about architects that are leaving the industry and going into other fields. And so I was published in Architectural Record. And so all the people that I used to work with, like, what the hell? You're published, and I, you know, because you're making video games.
You know, I heard games are going to be big. You were on to something.
When you meet people our age and they're like, well, what do you do for a living? You're like, oh, I work for a video game company. And they're like, oh, I don't play games. I'm always like, you're kind of a weirdo. You're the same age as me and you just never play video games ever. But I always think it's just a little weird.
Well, I mean, if all those people got into games, they'd probably just get into those games that you really like, those strategy JRPGs with isometrics.
That's a great segue into my new segment for our special guest called What Are Your Favorite Games? Excluding Bungie games, because course they would make the top of the list, but just, in a nutshell.
When I was there, so that I play
what
games.
Defines you as a gamer?
Oh my God.
Defining me as a gamer probably would be the Intellivision. I had the Intellivision. In fact, my parents just recently mailed it to me. It was in the and it
what?
Works.
Ooh.
I have the Intellivision. I have 31 game cartridges.
Did they have some weird name like Ultra Packs or Shenanigans Cards or
those plastic cards that you slid in?
It was like a touch tone keypad with cards.
With a little blister circle.
I didn't have them. My cousins did. Though. Every time we visit, we would just play it nonstop. Yeah, I thought they were so lucky to have.
Of course, and you have to have Intellivision's version of like everything that's hot on the Atari. Right. So I always liked Intellivision's Pac-Man version, which was Lock and Chase. That was a good one. Astro Smash, which was kind of like Asteroids. And
Did you have the voice synthesizer, B-17 Bomber?
I didn't have that. I always wanted that, but we never, you know, my parents never.
Millionaire kids had that. Yeah.
but then you know I sort of gave up. Games for pursuit of loose women and alcohol in college.
In your experimental phase.
Yeah. And then...
the real defining years.
Yeah, and then came back to games once I got the job at Bungie. And so one of the ones I was introduced to first, basically because Michael Evans was really into the RTSs, was Total Annihilation.
Mm.
And we played that a lot in the Oni office. That one I loved. I have such a soft spot when we got our Dreamcast for...
Now we're up in the Luke's era. Dreamcast? You familiar?
Oh.
Are you going to talk about Rocket? Shenmue?
No. Choo-choo Rocket. I'm a social gamer. Okay. So I like the ones where we actually hot seated on the N64 Banjo Kazooie, Steve Abate and I through the whole thing. And we did
hot seated? What does that mean?
That's like a warm dessert.
Well, somebody what plays and then they can't get by something. They say, oh, here, you take the control. And then the other person plays for
really?
Like,
so you swap out, but your chair's still warm.
It's like drop in, drop out
so
co op.
It's hot seated.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Or like when Luke helps Frank get through the Halo 3 campaign.
Stick with me. I'll teach you some things. But
nice.
I really liked, and I know this is going to get me, everybody is either like you like this or you don't. I really liked Diddy Kong Racing. I thought it was brilliant.
Dude, I love Diddy Kong.
Diddy Kong.
I love Jaunty.
Hey, wait, look at this. Sorry to interrupt your awesome
Santa Claus.
Memory lane, but.
Oh, well, this is good, yeah.
Producer and, as Frank put it, feces canon expert, Jaunty Barnes just walked in to bring us.
Bringing some
not only that,
New Zealand
lager. This is
it's
this
New Zealand. We were just talking about Butcher earlier.
Yeah.
So.
Fine Kiwi lager.
Perfect.
Here. Some Stein
lager. Well, how about we take a quick break?
Yeah, let's take a quick break and
opening break.
Opening break. And we'll be
unless
right
someone's
back.
Someone's got an opener. Oh, you just
no, break. We just need a break.
Yeah, I got
we're back, and we'll continue where we left off with Dave. But
we were talking about some Choo Choo Rocket before we had that nice surprise from Jaunty.
Yes, Choo Choo Rocket was brilliant. So what we would do is, you know, I think crunched harder on Oni than any other Bungie title, and so we were there all the time. I mean, you know,
even the Halo 2 crunch that almost killed everyone. Oni was worse, huh?
It was better in the sense that it was new and exciting, so it wasn't that hard.
Well, that was your first crunch.
But I think I probably, time-wise, probably did put in more time, on finishing Oni. But we had one, you know.
What about hours crunched to dollars earned ratio? How did that compare?
You remember back then we were in the Alexander Seropian regime in which, I don't know if people really know about that, but you know Alex was notoriously tight. I believe the guy that provided our healthcare insurance was Alex's uncle. I don't know that he officially had a business doing that, but it was definitely, you know, like most of the people were somehow related to Alex that were providing the outside services, you know.
Huh.
So, yeah, Alex, tightwad. But I still love him. Alex, peace.
So Oni was the most work that you had to put in, you think. And would you say Oni represents your best work? I mean, those are some pretty amazing environment textures.
Yeah. You know, and I wasn't even good at texturing back then. So Chris Hughes would paint them and then I would apply them. Oh. But I would say, you know what? I am extremely proud of that because it was a team that was extremely inexperienced, that worked really hard to try to make something that had a grand idea to, but like there was certain things that happened that along the way that were really hard to deal with. Like not having a design idea specced out really early on was obviously a hindrance then, but for everyone to, when they came on board, like Hardy and Mike Porter and Michael Wu, to take what they were given and just say, all right, well, we'll make the best of it. And I really do believe, like I said, the animation system was like, you know, in my opinion, was way ahead of its time.
Just if I recall, one of the coolest things about it was you could disarm your opponents and with hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, all the animations were like, watching Steve animate was so fun because he's another guy. Steve was working at an architecture firm up in San Francisco when we hired him. So another person that was not really trained to be doing exactly what he's doing. And
Carney's just not rare at all, is he?
I know. Carney's been getting all this exclusive PR as the architect that made the leap.
If you shake a video game studio, 100 Carneys are just going to fall out squealing.
Do you?
Pretty much, that is true. But.
Do you hypothetically, like some deep down, wish that maybe someday Bungie might reacquire the Oni IP and open up some doors for maybe revisiting your...
Absolutely. I mean, mainly because I love the stylistic universe that it was set in, like, you know, the anime. I wouldn't say that I love anime in the sense that I'm a huge fan of watching it.
You prefer the hentai style.
I do, yeah. You know, a couple of, but then, you know, who's to say now that we couldn't, you know, ratchet it up a notch?
Yeah, let's call Lorraine and ask her about that.
Yeah, let's not.
Lorraine McLeese, by the way, Bungie artist, I believe, at the time was Lorraine Reyes, who was one of the character designers for Kanoko.
Yep, Lorraine and Alex Okita. Yeah.
So would Oni actually work as an arcade game, you think? Live arcade? Not that it's our
yeah,
call.
Yeah, specifically Take-Two owns Oni, and they own Myth. It would work. I mean,
I'd like to bring it.
Couldn't be emulated.
Back.
It'd have to be recoded, but yeah, it would work.
Yeah. What I was getting at was, so we'd be working really hard, and like every afternoon, every evening when we were doing dinners at like 6, we would take a break and go into our little closet area that had a bunch of game systems in there, and we'd had Dreamcast, and we would play Choo Choo Rocket, and then when Virtua Tennis came out, we were addicted to that. And let it be known, in case this is not in the archives anywhere of the history of stuff, when we then moved out here, the Oni crew moved out to Redmond, and we're working in the 110 office at Microsoft with all the Chicago guys. Threw down the gauntlet, like, hey, we're way better at you guys than Virtua Tennis, and we wiped the table with, I mean, you know, our third and fourth string Virtua Tennis players were just mowing through the guys in the Chicago office that thought they could play.
I remember Virtua Tennis was actually one of the first pentathlon games that I played at the Winter Pentathlon in Redmond.
Oh, the pentathlon. That's changed a lot, huh?
Yes. Now
it's called the kidtathlon, it's full of family fun.
It's like
a
crash.
Well, that's different. I mean, the picnic is...
The winter pentathlon is still about hardcore gaming. You will soon learn.
Don't they always try and introduce some lame like Jenga or stacking cups or...
I think they're confusing it with the Penny Arcade.
Festival. Because Marty can't, you know, like... handle the overstimulation that electronic gaming provides.
Right.
And so we're like,
he tries to make games with cups and twigs.
Pin the
and
tail
shit.
On the donkey.
Why do you think the artists get such a bad rap for the Halo franchise and their multiplayer abilities, though, speaking of people that can't handle games?
So
I know in Halo 2, there was a special session for playtesting for the environment artists specifically, so people could go easy on them.
See, that's not the case. It wasn't go easy.
I thought it was because you guys didn't want to play against the rest of the team because it was too brutal. You didn't like the competition.
It's not brutal. It's not even not the competition. Like, a lot of people are jackasses.
Well, that's
right?
True.
A lot of people are like, yeah, you like that? And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like,
there's much worse kinds of jackasses.
There's worse online.
The worst kind of jackass is the one that comes up and is like, I don't like the style you play the game. It's really distracting to me to watch you. The way you throw grenades is just ridiculous.
Have you ever tried to play with Luke over your shoulder, talking, like backseat commentating?
No, I've not had that pleasure.
You should someday.
But so
that's hotseat.com.
We determined that, like, you know, when we're making these maps, oftentimes we'll be running around and it's totally acceptable to us to just start staring at the ground and going, maybe a little rock here or like a little ice puddle will be here. And then I don't want someone, you know, no names being mentioned, Charlie, down at the other end of the office, you know, as he's playing on our team going, do your job, you stupid son of a bitch. You know, and so for us, we felt like, hey.
Well, I mean, there has got to be fair to Charlie. I know exactly what you mean, but there has got to be a compromise between
staring at the ground.
And staring at the ground. I mean, I know.
When I play against the artists, all I'm thinking is, oh, God, overkill. Here it comes.
Didn't the artists actually beat
you guys? They beat Frank.
I was just going to say, like, I mean, I don't know how far you guys have come. The last time that you did that, Luke, I know that you had a bunch of artists lining up. You had Michael Wu screaming at you saying,
Where was Michael Wu when we played?
It doesn't matter. We're smart enough to say,
you mess with one of us,
you mess with all of us.
Well, you guys have hired a lot of talent over the past 2 years. We've a lot of artists down there.
Yeah.
Brian and I were having this discussion this morning. There's some arbitrary thinking about who's good and who's bad at Halo in the office. The people that you mentioned, the hypercritical guys, just make assumptions about how people play. Because Brian was playing last week, was it? And somebody noticed you won a game. And you're like, oh, Brian's pretty good, as it turns out. And it's like, Brian's always been good.
When was that?
Yeah, it just depends.
When did you win a game, though?
Huh? I won a game of Bioshock.
Luke is totally
one of those guys you're talking about. So like, we don't like to play with him anymore.
Luke
either,
would not play with me the other night because stats weren't being tracked, and he said it's not worth my time.
That's totally true. Luke was playing with Gilbert. He and Gilbert Arenas were actually ranked together.
I have minus 133 XP now.
I noticed on your other account, the one that no one knows about, your boosting account. Yeah.
I do have since you bring up Gilbert Arenas, I do have a good story of sports personalities that we've done things with, and typical, I would say, style of my own. I did something where I was like, afterwards, I was like, should I have done that? But it's their own fault for inviting me to these things. No, not too long ago, we had Sean Merriweather and Alex Smith.
Yeah, I remember
from
that.
The NFL.
Merriman.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Merriman.
That's right.
And so I wanted to stop in because I'm a big football fan. Go Patriots! And
Jesus,
here we go.
Hey, I grew up right outside.
You grew up right in the state of New England.
I grew up in Massachusetts.
We should come back. I was a fan back then.
Why didn't you get your own team? Why didn't you get like the Boston Terriers or something?
But anyways. I want to just stop in and see these guys, right? So I come back from lunch, and I don't know, whatever we've been talking about at lunch, I was kind of all amped up, had a lot of energy, and I walk in the room, and Jay Wineland goes, oh, Dave, you want to sit down and play? And I'm like, yeah, or whatever. So I sat down, and I'm right next to Alex Smith, the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. So I'll give you a little background for those that don't know football. This is, I guess, his second or third year. He's pretty young. Last year, all they did was run the ball. I mean, I'm not calling Alex Smith out. I know quarterback in the – I mean
– Well, Jeff Garcia before him was a big ball runner, so
– Well, no, but I mean, like, I'm saying all they did was run the ball. Like, they had Alex Smith hand the ball off, but, you know, and some people want to say, well, he's not throwing the ball enough, right? So, anyways, we're having these guys play some multiplayer, and at one point – I don't know if you remember this, Brian. You were right next to him, and we're looking at our stats, and he's like, "Yeah, I got no kills." And you're trying to—I could tell—you're trying to be nice, and you're like, "Oh, but you got three assists. And then you got went even worse. It was like, you know, an assist is when like you're shooting the guy, but then your own guy kills him. And I just turned to him and I patted him on the shoulder. I said, yeah, it's kind of like when you just hand the ball off to the running back and he does all the work to get it into the end zone.
Oh, no.
And then after that, I was like, I wonder if I should have said that. This guy could probably pummel me.
But. Yeah, he threw like, I think he threw like 17 or 18 picks last year. He throws the ball just not to the right team.
Mm.
I remember that. That was fun.
Yes, but I will say that, you know, no need to be calling out Alex Smith because, you know, he likes the game and he was here and he was giving it his best and that was cool. But
so Halo 3.
Halo 3.
What are you most proud of that game? Personally?
Yeah, this. Personally, I'm most proud of the fact that we did not compromise what we were trying to do with the environments to the degree that we normally would because we wanted a certain quantity of things. So we were very well structured and organized. We had schedules that we stuck to. We cut things when we had to cut them, which allowed us to not lose a lot of work. And the guys on the environment team were just phenomenally hard workers that were they're so passionate about making everything look so good. And at this time it didn't feel like when Halo 2 finished, I felt so sort of disappointed that basically we were ripping things out of people's hands that they weren't proud of. And when we finished up, you know, when we came to our milestone, hey guys, content complete for environments. And, I came back to them and said, hey guys, you know, we got a few bugs to fix, but we're pretty much done. Most everybody was okay with that. Whereas, you know, when we finished Halo 2, you know, I remember Nathan punched a hole in a wall and all these people were like, you know, won't let me fix this bug and all that. And we had gotten, I mean, you can always do more. You always want to do more, but. I thought the environments came out good. And
I agree. I'll put you on the spot. If you had to pick one environment, what's your favorite environment?
Yeah, do it. And don't be like, no, I love them all. You got to answer.
Wow.
There's a lot of diverse environments there.
There is. I mean, like, so are we talking artistically or are we talking gameplay?
Just your favorite.
Favorite to play on?
Yeah, just overall. Only have one environment with you for the rest of your life, what would it be?
You know, I got to say... So for people that don't know how the games finish up, like the environment art finishes up pretty early because the prima donnas like Marty need their time at the end to kind of make everything sound good and all that. But seriously, we finish up early, so then we become glorified testers, which is a hard gig. And we're playing stuff, and you play it over and over and over again. It can be very frustrating. But the one mission that I would always look forward to playing when we were playing on Legendary with some of the skulls on was Outskirts. There was certain spots in Outskirts that like that brute encounter. And I actually at first didn't appreciate it for what it was until
Outskirts is Savo Highway.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And so I didn't appreciate it for what it was worth until one day I go over and I see Joseph Tung and Jason Jones playing at co-op. And they've got a bunch of the skulls on. They got on Legendary. They've got the skull on where, if you die, you get reset back to they had the hard luck on. They had a bunch of ones.
Yeah, sounds like Joe trying to show off.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's the best part. You know, Joe loves to show off. What? Well, Joe and Jason, they go to that encounter where, like, you see about, like, 18, I think, 18 or 20
the garage
brutes.
Area.
Yeah, they just keep dropping off brutes from that Phantom. Well, I watched them die. They played it for, like, 2 hours. Joe's all of a sudden, he's like, oh, I got to go to a meeting. I'm like, I'll play. And Jason kind of looks like, you know, it's one of those things. Like, and I can understand that. I'm not a great player. I'm like, Jason, I'll play conservative. And that's the thing. Joe is a cowboy. He's reckless. He just gets in there, you know, and he goes. Well, lo and behold, about an hour later, Jason and I got through that encounter. And Joe came back the next day. He and Jason tried again. They tried for 3 straight days before they finally got through it. So...
there you go.
By my logic, I would say that in that manner, maybe I'm a little better than Joseph as a team player.
I think science has spoken. I think
you
are.
I agree. You know, we say the same thing about Luke a lot of times. He's not so much the team guy. He's more about
it. It is hard for me to play. I don't play well.
He doesn't care
others,
if your team wins. He cares if he outscores his three teammates.
No, actually, yeah. I care more about winning than any other
thing.
I'm
a support player myself. I like to look out for the greater good.
Yeah, I think about the team. Yeah. Like, you know, you talk about the artists having a bad rep. And you talk about the pentathlon. This is one of my favorite stories. So back then, when the first Halo came out, it was in the pentathlon as multiplayer. And yeah, and this was before we actually used to divide into grizzled ancients, old school, new school. We used to actually back then still just divide. For a while, we were dividing into like Oni team and Phoenix team and Halo team and all that. But this one year, we did artists, we did programmers, it was kind of a weird melange of stuff. Well, so the artists are like, yeah, whatever. Like, we don't really care. We don't really care if you can beat us up in Halo. But the engineers were so into it. And we had it set up so you were playing, you know, 8 versus 8. And we would be in different rooms. So I'm like, well, this is kind of stupid. You know, like, I'm like, we're not going to win this match. And these guys are so into it. Why don't we just fuck with them? So we get ready to go. And I'm like, guys, everybody bring a rubber band. They're like, what? So we have the old Duke controllers. And they're set up so that you can put a rubber band over one stick and go around the controller and loop it over the other stick. And so one by one, we just keep doing it slowly. We put the rubber band on. We put the controller down, and we walk into the other room behind those guys. And you walk in there, and then there's Butchie's going, "He's just running around in circles. I don't understand it. What are they doing? They're crazy!" Right? And just like, yeah, man, those guys suck. And it took them about about a minute to turn around, and like, ah, you sons of bitches, right? So we threw the game, but nice. It was kind of like letting go at tug of war.
Yeah. Now, even though they won, they didn't have the full satisfaction of winning.
Yeah, we felt like we still kind of won. Yeah.
That's nice. That really pissed me off.
Yeah. See, it would have been a hollow
Luke
victory.
Is so competitive that this story is just making him angry.
Yeah, I'm used to go shoot someone right now.
Yeah, well.
You know, on a more serious note, one thing that a lot of people ask us about all the time is, how do I work at Bungie? How do I get my foot in the door in the game industry? As someone who's coming up on a 10-year veteran making games, mm-hmm. what sage advice do you want to pass down to
I get that a lot. A lot of people will send me questions about their kid who's in high school thinking about, you know, going through that. And I would say this, it depends on what you want to go and do. I mean, if you want to go become an artist, then you should definitely be taking art classes, you know, besides, you know, going to school, getting your degree. You don't have to have, a university degree, but it helps because you learn a lot of stuff, whether it be in a design discipline like architecture or industrial design, or whether it be in fine arts, you're learning to think about design problems and come up with solutions. And in many of those cases, work with team members. And then also, you need to know. Back then, I mean, it was acceptable to grab someone like me who didn't have any gaming experience, but who had a skill, which was, you know, the skill of designing spaces. Nowadays, there's enough, the industry is big enough now that you want someone with some experience. So everybody's like, well, how do I get experience? The things that I've seen, I've taken chances with people that have done really amazing stuff in the mod community. We've seen people that have come through our community to come over here to work as contract artists because they've shown that they can make stuff, you know, they're making stuff for CE or whatever. And so basically, you know, you gotta work at it. You gotta say, get yourself a copy of some world editor from some game and start making maps and get it out there and show people. And that's one way to sort of, you know, knock your way into it. Or if you're a concept artist, you know, draw all the time and design stuff and post it on concept, you know, the websites and all that. So, I mean, those are the key ways that I think are important for people to do, is to show someone that you have a skill that they want. It's, it's pretty simple in that regard.
So. Makes sense. What about Mr. Chief? If something like that came across your desk, could they get an interview?
Well, you know, it depends. Actually, you know what? We should talk about some of my favorite, because I've done a lot of, over the years, done a lot of hiring, and there are some memorable ones. Do you think that Mr. Chief would not even rank up there as some of the, you know, most interesting, I'll say interesting.
What are you getting at? I'm Dave saying, Dunn? What are you trying to say?
I'm saying Mr. Chief is maybe
you jealous?
Stylistically, you know.
No, you can say it would not be the shittest thing that ever came across your desk.
Well, now it's got a whole cult following, right? Yeah, it's like so bad it's good kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah, well, we've had some brilliant ones. My favorite one was the guy that sent in this. It wasn't a bipedal alien. It was like, it kind of looked like it was a big, giant, weird frog sort of like – it was kind of like the flood, you know, the pure form, the one that's actually the little
crawl around annoying one.
It kind of was like that, but much bigger. And it was, in the perspective of this model was sort of from the underside of it. And this person,
not a flattering perspective for any model.
Right underside, like from the front, you see the head, the neck, kind of like you're looking directly at a bull, at a bullfrog or something. And it had human genitalia modeled on it, but no, it gets worse. It was circumcised. I'm like, what the? Why the hell does this thing?
Attention to detail.
Have circumcised human genitalia.
So it's brute zone,
So I'm like, that one was one of my favorites. One guy sent in a reel. It had a movie on it where it showed he was trying to show that he was a character modeler. So it's fine. You do character model. It doesn't mean you design these characters. So you pick something that you want to model. So he shows us a picture of Mark Wahlberg and
Marky Mark, the Funky Bunch.
From those of you that from the Boston area.
Good vibrations.
Exactly. And then he's spinning around. Now he shows you the picture of it, and then he shows you the model of it, and you're spinning around. He's rotating the model to see, and it's
six pack. It's good stuff, right?
Yeah, naked, but whatever. See. Okay. Then he shows you a picture of Natalie Portman.
Right.
Listening. And then he's got a model of that naked, and he's spinning around that.
Did he make them interact?
Then he's got one scene where he's not an animator, so he's just a character. So he put him in a pose where they're like embracing each other, and he's rotating around there, and we're just like, what the hell is with Marky Mark and Natalie Portman?
Was there penetration?
Tell
me you weren't thinking the same
thing. I was wondering what their baby looked like.
I was just wondering if there was at least proper arousal being depicted or not.
But. Well, there was no ruby starfish that were, shown or anything like that. So.
Oh my God.
But, and then I do recall there was another one that we got. The guy he was an animator, and his reel consisted of this cartoon duck character that was just peeing all over, but not like in the way a duck pees. It was kind of,
Wait a minute.
It was walking around like a drunk human person just pissing all over the place. We're like, what is with the peeing duck? So as a word to those people out there, when you send something in, think about what it is that you're sending in and what it's going to say about you as a person. But my favorite all time, and this is one of the ones I wish we had archived. We were on Oni, and Hamilton was receiving all the mail for job applicants that we got. And we got one from this young kid, and we were looking for a designer. We were always looking for a designer. And he, he stated it in there somewhere, was maybe 10. I want to say his name was Jordan, but I'm not positive of that.
A young Jamie G.
Jordan Mechner?
I don't know. He was young, and he basically said, "Dear Bungie, I want to be your designer. I kick ass. I kick way more ass than you. I kick so many asses," and it just kept going on and on about kicking ass. I mean, it was over the top. Like, and you should have me out there, and I'll kick your ass, and give me the damn job so I can kick some ass. And then that was it. And it was like, thanks. And I'm just
You're sincerely Clifford P. Blazinski.
And I was like, we gotta hire this kid. I mean, like, and Hamilton for the longest time kept the letter. I don't know whatever ended up happening. But
that's like the same message I get on Xbox Live from people who think that they're gonna get to play us in a hump day challenge.
Even our buddy Jizz left a very similar message back when the beta launched. So everyone's wanting to kick our ass for some reason.
Yeah, well, that's
maybe it's because we have a motto that says, "Don't make us kick your ass.
You reap what you sow."
Yeah, we invited it.
Oops.
Yeah.
That's what I
learned. Well, we have so many brawlers in this building, you know.
Yeah, you step back. Hey, I play ice hockey. I can.
That's right. You do play.
I can brawl.
Don't you play an annual, star studded celebrity Microsoft Gala thing?
You want to hear one about that? So,
how are we doing on time?
we're getting lean. But,
how are we doing on bandwidth?
Let's hear the story on ice hockey.
This is a good one. So, I know.
I want to have a story time segment every show from now on.
I kind of do too.
Just save a story.
I play in the Microsoft Hockey Challenge each year. It's a charity event where.
Well, do you still get to play in that now?
I'm told that I still will because
they want you
honorary.
You'll be recruited.
I'll be recruited because I'll bring.
You're like the Brett Hall.
Yeah, something like that.
He's
really
like
nice.
A mighty duck.
Exactly, but so 2 years ago, I'm playing on the every year I usually play on the Windows team, and 2 years ago I'm playing on the Windows team. I know this is great.
I heard they're real brawlers.
We're sitting on the gaming team.
They kept pushing me to try to get a gaming team together. Supposedly Jay Allard played ice hockey back.
I thought
in
that
the day.
Their gaming team broke away.
Well,
they went pro. What do you say?
So after the game, we're in the locker room, and as typical to hockey players, you're sitting there drinking a cold beer. We snuck them into the. It's at the Key Arena, so it's a big deal. It's a big event, a lot of people there. And we're in the locker room. Most people from the team have gone off, but there's a few of us just finishing the last few
if
beers.
If there's towel snapping involved, you can
It gets creepier than that. So we're sitting there, and my friend Mike, who runs the Windows team, his little son, who's maybe like 12 years old, is there just to give you an idea of, like, he's not drinking a beer, but all of a sudden a couple guys walk in, and at first guy, I'm like, who the hell's that? I'm like, why do I recognize? And then I realize, oh, that's, and I'm like, oh god, he's fat, right? Yeah,
of Beverly Hills 90210.
But he was chubby, like
Luke swollen. And Empire.
He was swollen. He was kind of, right. And then the guy who plays from walks in,
Mr. Clean.
Yeah, what's his
Mini
name?
Mini Frank.
Yeah, and so, you know, they're in there, and there's one other celebrity, I can't recall who it was, and they start talking, and they've got, you know, their people that there to handle them. So there's some woman in there, and they're like, hey, can you get my skate sharpened? Blah 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 blah, and starts taking off his skinny little jeans. And he's got no underwear on. That's the first thing that's kind of creeping me out.
It's commando.
But he's definitely trying to show off to this woman. He's like, hey, I'm naked. You want to see my schwants? You know, and you're just like, oh, you know. And then they start talking about some weird stuff. And I'm like, dude, there's a kid here. There's a kid. What are you doing? Right. You know, he was just like, he was creepy. He was gross. And he had that all over tan, you know, like obviously tan's naked. And you're just like, oh, God, man, you know. So celebrities, I'm not all for them. That's my point.
He exposed himself to a child.
We might have to cut that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to risk anything. You're right.
Well, there you go. But
that's crazy.
I love done stories.
That story was so good, we had to edit it out.
Dave's got the best stories, though. Seriously. I would like to... we should get some feedback from our listeners, because I could totally see you coming back...
The Dave Dunn
on a regular basis and doing like a Today in Bungie history or just a crazy Dave story...
I like
segment.
I like
fun.
To spin a good yarn, and there's still a ton out there that I have not.
You know, so as one of the early sort of forefathers of the beard trend at Bungie, how does it feel now that more and more people seem to be taking on post-ship Halo 3 beards?
I think it's great. I think, you know, I love the variation. You know, you got Cameron down there with the old redheaded Amish beard, you know, like I see a lot of, you know, like goats that are starting to change into some other forms of beards.
Specifically, you know, three of the four of us in this studio have a beard right now.
Harold said that we might be having a beard competition when he gets back from...
Oh, a beard off.
A couple more Van Dykes would be good, you know, like, you know, it'd be great to have...
I noticed it's a long-term investment to get to the point where you can really start to shape and mold something really awesome, like the wax.
And that's what I...
I'm a ways away from that, but I've seen the photos in those beard competitions
was pretty proud of when I had the little Van Dyke, when I had the beard from Halo 3 and finished that up. But then, like on Halo 2, that's the other thing. You have to morally inspire the people that work with you. And so I shaved a mohawk. I had Mike Zach help me. He shaved a mohawk in my head for the end of Halo 2. It was my silent protest of like, hey, we're working too hard. And the beard that I grew for that one, I was pretty proud of. I did the chops that came down and then wrapped up the side of my across the thing. So basically it was the hardcore leather
Lemmy,
gay biker.
Lemmy from Motorhead.
It was
beard.
Lemmy, yeah. It was sweet. It was, you know, it was good. I felt like I could have been in a Robert Mapplethorpe pictorial.
I actually think we can keep that story. I'm just going to remove the names.
Yeah,
that's probably good.
Some of the situation.
You can be like, boop, from 90210. Yeah, then, boop,
Bungie is an independent company, and we get sued our first week out. Yeah.
I'd really be proud to be part of that, though.
Yeah, well,
you'd be named as probably one of the defendants.
Yeah, awesome.
Never a stranger to controversy.
Well, you got to do what you got to do.
And what we've got to do right now is take a quick break, and we'll be right back with NFL Minute and the debut of a brand new feature to the Bungie Studios podcast. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Three receptions for 46 yards, Bertone. Paul Bertone, mission design lead on Halo 3, has joined us.
Football, much like game design, is a team sport, Luke. I know you don't know anything about that.
The NFL minute's going to turn into a rip on Luke minute. Every show, that's the best part about it.
Your me for me attitude online.
Listen, what?
I'm sure there's some people out there that have already played with you in some matchmaking.
Listen to Luke feigning outrage, right?
What are you talking about?
He doesn't know.
I never.
I'm just saying, your boy.
I only care about myself, what?
Your boy, and the subject of the Fohawk bet, 3 catches, 46 yards.
That's all right.
That's a nice game.
Let's project some stats for the remainder of the year, shall we?
Have we talked about that already? Or?
We did. Oh, okay. At the podcast about 6 weeks ago. What was it? Five or 6 weeks ago.
Well, we have new listeners all the time. So
Luke is going to be sporting a faux hawk
for one day. Well,
it's
a little bit spiky right now, right?
That's how he gets out of bed. I came into work one day. He came rolling in the office about 11:30.
His hair's like. Yeah. It's like, man, did you even?
If he gets a faux hawk with that beard, he's going to look like Wicket.
That's true. I think Luke washes his hair like once a week or something, man.
No, I actually can't go a day without washing.
Do you style it like that? It takes like 40 minutes to get it like that, doesn't it?
It takes 40 minutes to get out of bed.
Luke's got a natural unshowered sheen, but your sheen you have to work on a little bit, right?
Yeah, God.
It looks like it. Beard is so perfectly trimmed.
I know, man.
We just had the beard
minute. Look who's talking.
We just had the beard minute before this segment. We had a whole beard retrospective with Dave Dunn.
Nice.
And I think we're talking about having a beard off for the holidays.
Really?
Even though I don't want to go up against this guy because
his nickname is Beardy.
I know. He can shave it clean right now, come in tomorrow morning, and have like full Amish.
This is only three days worth of growth.
Yeah,
here,
that's
man.
Ridiculous.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Your team didn't look very good on Sunday, though.
You know what, though? They won,
right?
Which we're really happy about. And I mean, still, if you're to project Randy Moss's stats through the end of the year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it still looks grim.
He's going to get about 2,000 yards. I think it was 120 receptions and about 30 touchdowns. So I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Hmm.
Although, you know, after four games, they Cleveland played some good D against him.
Yeah, they only put up 34 or something.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Brady had a couple more incompletions than he's had normally. We're looking for that 79-80% completion ratio.
So you're a Pats guy and you're a Colts guy? Is that what's going on here for people who really don't give a damn?
And Frank's a Seahawks fan who put up zero. Team.
That's unfortunately. That is unfortunate.
The Seahawks didn't do great, but you know what I enjoyed was the Monday Night Football game, the Dallas game. That was unexpected.
Was that not terrible?
It was terrible and awesome at the same time to watch.
Oh man.
The thing is, I never ever want Dallas to win, but by the time they got to that last play, I was like, I kind of want them to win now.
That was just like watching the Cardinals meltdown from last season when the Bears came back from like 20-0 down.
But it was just spectacular. It was all about the clock as well. Like, it wasn't the gameplay in the game was horrible, but like watching the clock versus what was going on, and obviously the kicker needs a gold medal.
I'm hoping Romo plays like that next week.
You played Madden at all, by the way, Paul?
What was on Romo's face?
Why you gotta bring that up?
Are you a Madden player? I just wanted to know.
I have played. We played in New Zealand.
You played against Luke?
No. Okay. Played against CJ and let's not talk about
football
Madden,
games are hard nowadays, aren't they?
We almost need more mics for that.
Yeah, I know, dude. Like,
press A! Yeah!
Run the same play over and over again.
Here's the thing about CJ, right, is we're drinking the whole time, and I'm like, dude, where's the burst button? Like, this is stupid. This game didn't ship without a burst button. And the whole time, he's just sitting there, does not say a word, anything, right? Last day, I'm finally like, all right, I'm going to crack open the manual. I'm going to try and learn these controls, right?
Which,
if you cracked open the Madden manual, you know that the controls are ridiculous. Every button is totally different. And then, there it is. Hold down right trigger to run faster.
So you didn't know about any of your playmaker, like special moves or abilities or
anything
like that?
No, nothing like that. Like every time CJ caught the ball, he was like gone, right? Because I didn't know.
Who was he playing as? The Texans?
He played for the Texans for a while.
Yeah, he's not a Cowboys fan.
He's actually a Titans fan. Because he used to be an Orioles fan, and then they moved to Tennessee, so.
Well, that's loyalty.
And Vince Young, he's from Texas, so
yeah,
CJ's got the totally whole Texas connection going on there.
What are your guys' hot picks for this weekend? What are the big games we ought to be on the lookout for?
The Colts have the week off, but obviously the Monday night game is going to be good. That's Dallas. Is it Monday night?
I don't think it's Sunday. No, I think it's Sunday. Dallas, I think it's the Monday. It's the 4 o'clock game on Sunday.
What's that? Sunday night is the game that Frank's going to watch, and that is Sea Chickens, right?
Yeah. You're going to watch it.
Is that a special deal now? Local team, dude. You better learn. Support your local team.
You know their offices are in Kirkland, right?
Yeah, that's great.
You know, them are listening.
And they know where our offices are. You're going
to
go outside.
There's going to be like
it's an open 12, invitation like the whole to
offensive
the entire,
and defensive line. We met that. Are going to be outside.
Both lines are invited to come and meet Luke Smith.
Yes,
shit talker.
Outside the he usually gets in around 11:30.
He looks like an Ewok. He drives a Mazda 3. You can't miss him. You smash a couple of trees on his car.
An Ewok who like sticks his finger in the electrical socket every morning.
What was that guy's name that we met at Best Buy for lunch? The cornerback.
I don't know. He had one kill the entire night.
Yeah,
it was bad.
It's true.
He's better at press coverage than he is at Halo.
Yep. And yet again, Luke is signing his own death warrant. When
yeah, exactly.
Defensive line sees him walking down towards the QFC to get his chicken tenders.
What are you going to get, chicken tenders? Yeah.
Next Monday when the Seahawks have off.
He already said he could beat Gilbert Arenas in a game of one-on-one b-ball by a higher spread than what happened in Halo.
No, I said what I would do is I would have someone else shoot for me, and my special shooting guest was Jordan, and then I beat him.
That's nice.
But sort of like if I have someone else play my account while I'm supposed to be at an NBA game, Gilbert.
Like hot seating?
Yeah.
I learned that earlier. Speaking of that term, by the way?
No, that's
hot
a new
seating,
one.
Hot seating? It's like when you're playing a game, you're having a hard time, so you hop up and your friend sits down to finish it for you.
Really?
That's what Dave Dunn called hot seating.
Wow.
That's what Luke does when he plays me at Swords. He gets a hot seater ringer to come in.
Yo, you didn't like that.
Speaking of Dave's losing and having problems.
Speaking
of another game you suck at, Luke.
This is actually the first time Luke and I have had a conversation since I, whipped his ass.
What? So a little context.
Walking around the office, he won't even look me in the eyes anymore.
No, I just head down. Like, look at my shoes.
What's going on? He's like, grabbed me immediately the morning following after the big match to break it down for me and give me the proper context.
So here's what happened.
I downloaded it at home and me and my girlfriend watched it. I was pointing out all of Luke's faults and failures.
Somebody's pregnant. The first fault and failure, and what this is, this was the first of 9 challenges for Beat the Designer. Yeah,
we're actually re-terming that. It's Beat the Lame Community Guy.
You're laying an awfully big gauntlet on Dan
Challenge.
Miller's desk.
Isn't that a show already on HGTV?
Yeah, someone come and paint your kitchen if you
My boys
that.
Are going to step up. And if they start slacking off, we're just going to use the new term, we're going to hot seat it, and I'm going to jump in for them.
That's fine. Maybe this time when you jump in, I'll play as the Chief, so I'll have BR.
Whatever.
What is the Beat the Designer?
So for some context.
Try to Beat the Designer challenge.
In the attempt to Beat the Designer challenge, I'll play through every mission in Halo in Halo 3 with their respective designer. We'll
Except
play,
for Cortana.
No, you're coming back for Cortana.
I'm retired.
I think
I got a 50-50
Well, you better find a hot seat partner.
Cortana equals fail.
Oh, no. Just for scoring, because the headshots on the flood are hard
to get. Yeah, it's terrible.
They don't even have heads. They got like appendages.
Shoot them in chest. But what it is we'll play through every mission in the game and then come on here and talk a little bit about it. But the conditions are we play on heroic or legendary. Depends, if D. Miller wants to play legendary, we'll play legendary. Turn on some skulls, and then we're going to make the films available in our file share so that you can go through and watch it. And at some point further down the road, we're going to release a commentary track and a commentary video where you can go through it, and it'll be, you'll see Bertone meleeing me from behind as jump into combat.
That was awesome.
The film that I wish we had was Luke squirming in his seat as he was thousands of points behind
me. Well, you pulled ahead pretty fast. At that point, there was no looking back.
Well, yeah, here's the thing, right, is like I was maybe 4,000 or 5,000 points ahead at the substation. And when Luke and I were watching the film, he's like, at this point I knew that it was over and I wouldn't be able to catch up. And that's only like 4 brute kills, Luke.
No, but
it's a lot
harder to get headshots when any one of the 3 battle rifle bullets will count as a headshot. But the carbine only has one beam that comes out.
Did you see that film, Frank? Because I'll tell you what my favorite part of that film is.
I watched the thing live.
Now, did you see the part when Luke's trying to snipe and Paul's Paul's bumping his guy and denying him from getting headshots?
Yeah, when we were in the Jackal Canyon, I'm zoomed in trying to like take these snipers out. And it's a part where, and this was what led to our demise at the very end, was because the sniper parts are sort of the parts where in co-op you have to like suck it up and try and work together because it is totally trickier. And so I'm trying to snipe a jackal, and I'm like, what is moving me? And I look over, and Bertone and the chief have just been like pushing me like out further into the middle like line of fire, and it was just ridiculous. And then the result of that, when you watch the film, is just terrible play when we get to the ending.
I felt pretty clever actually, like, when I was doing that.
I think it was about half the entire play was spent to get to the dam, and then it took the other half just to finish the dam.
We died a couple times. Yeah. The Hammer Chieftain got us.
And Paul did melee the hell out of you. Like, in every skirmish, Luke goes charging off, and whack, and his shields are down.
He, I mean, he picked up that strategy from your skull guy.
I got that strategy from you. So it was
almost like I beat myself.
This is the exact type of qualification. Here's what happened, right? 2 weeks leading up to this, nothing but trash talking from Luke. Every day, I go to the kitchen to get a Coke, morning coffee. There's Luke. Always there. I don't think he spent any time at his desk actually working for those 2 weeks, right?
Practicing jungle.
That's true.
About maybe while we were in the grunt camp, sort of making our way to the substation, nothing but silence from Luke.
Well, it's that's when it's game time, though.
Nothing but silence. I have to admit something. I actually have a camera over by Frank's desk, so I've been videotaping you. To steal your plays. Yeah. So I've been watching, you know, your formations running.
That's fitting. Patriots fitting. Paul Belichick.
You remember all that training that you did leading up to it, though? It was like high altitude training where you and I would play on Legendary and you would have me melee you before every battle just to see. Like, he really did work for weeks.
Right. You're such a liar.
I've also been pumping up on the human growth hormones, too, to get my thumbs in working order. Yeah. You know,
in like 6 months when that film doesn't exist anymore, history would be somehow rewritten.
That's saved.
No, like I was saying earlier, I mean,
I'm going to pull that one out later. Don't worry about that.
The last two thirds of that mission was just warm up post game play, right? Just for fun, social.
There is a point actually in the mission though, where when you're watching it, you will see like after we do clear the dam, like just the chance of catching up from that point on, like you would need the chieftain kill for sure. And the way that we ended up dispatching the chieftain was
luck.
Like, it was just sad, and the chieftain like. He looked at geometry, and then you meleeed him from behind, and it like ends up being really anticlimactic. And we didn't put on a good show because the snipers ate us for breakfast at the dam.
He got us a couple of good times.
Yeah.
There was one time I jumped down below, and I thought he was chasing you around, and he was actually sitting right there, and I didn't see him. And he just kind of
waiting for you.
Yeah,
it was fun. It was a lot of fun. The final score I think was 4,500 or 5,000 was the difference.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, it was like 25,000, 21,000.
Yeah. So who's next? Difference. What's your next challenge?
The next one is going to be with Dan Miller, who's been on the show before, and he did Crow's Nest. Will be where we're playing next.
Yep, I'll go into training with him.
Yeah, get him warmed up, and maybe at some point I'll go Gunner C. Well, that's what Dan Miller and I were talking about that because Halo is his mission, and we're trying to figure out a way to do. Halo at the end because
I think the way is that you play normally on foot and then nobody shoots when you're in the
I mean the thing is are we gonna spoil this for a minute during the end if you die you're not gonna have a vehicle when you respawn so there's just no way to catch up, so why don't you just end the challenge before you get to that, because then it's kind of boring.
Well, the thing is, so there's a way
there's no more points, we can get splatter points. That's true.
And actually, at each one of the circular dishes,
except
there
by
is
the
a
infection
vehicle.
Forms, which don't actually splatter when you run them over, they actually like throw your.
They flip your wall
over
the place.
No, it's
brilliant. I think the words for that are by design won't fix.
Yeah,
right.
I think that's what happened to that.
I don't know. I'm not a designer.
Nobody ever uses those words around here.
I don't know what you're talking about.
If Luke doesn't like it, then there's a problem with it.
So Dan Miller and the Crow's Nest will be next, and Paul and I are going to figure out how to get. Well, I'm going to figure out, and then loop Paul in to figure out how to get it on BNet in like a YouTube size file.
Yeah, we'll do
and
that.
If you can watch the HD version in our file shares.
That would be cool.
I would love to hear it with the commentary, unless Luke just goes silent 5 minutes into it. Okay. At which
are
point,
you kidding?
The yeah, commentary. There'll be a lot of beeps. I mean, I definitely.
We're age gated now. It's all right.
There was almost a couple times where I had to walk over to his desk and just let him know that I was winning.
I'm surprised. Who was? Oh, so you were the host.
He was the Master Chief, and I was the Master Chief.
I'm surprised looked into doing it. He was like save and quit or restart last checkpoint shenanigans, because he's been known to do that.
It was for competition. When you and I are just goofing around, that doesn't count.
Oh, it's just goofing around then, right?
Oh, sure.
You know, the biggest thing that Luke couldn't handle, though, was the pace at which I moved through the mission.
The beginning part threw me off completely.
That scared him.
So yeah, Luke's still looking up and down. You're already like,
Well, I mean, he had...
You cleared the first Phantom already.
He's trying to follow the Marines up the waterfall.
He's like, wow, dude, that jungle looks awesome.
Oh my God, the lights are awesome. How many pee is this?
There's fish.
No, I mean, he had 16 deaths, and if you watch the film, a lot of them are because... I wasn't very far ahead of him, but I was just enough ahead of him where he knew that I was going to start getting kills and getting points.
Yeah, well, it was right when we started, and there's the very first encounter, and you went, when the Phantom ship comes in, you went up and to the left and started pushing ahead immediately and doubling back on, like, the first Phantom drop-off and starting to work on the second one. And I'm like, no, this is not the way that this level's played. What's going on? Paul, you're playing it wrong. Why do I have a carbine? And then all of a sudden it's like 1600 to 6. No, I'm not. I'm not good with the carbine.
No, it's weird. That's not true.
You were ahead of me after the first encounter because I had my look speed set too high. So when you watch that first one, all the kills I had were actually luck. I had this one awesome battle rifle spray, which was total luck because I couldn't see anything that I had, you know, 1, 2, 3 bullets, headshot, multi-kill grunts, where I couldn't even see anything.
So if I were to do that with the carbine, I would only shoot the one bullet and wouldn't get a multi-kill.
Not if you learn how to vid that.
Maybe pull the trigger.
I'm just saying you might want to pull the trigger. I'm just saying that maybe everyone should start with the exact same weapons. I think I sent an email about a long time ago.
I think the reason he got so far ahead is because every time Luke would stop, look down at the strategy guide, he would just pull that much further ahead. There's a copy on his desk right now.
Is there?
Yeah, and the jungle section's all folded over and like worn. He's got notes all written in it.
Tears splattered on the pages.
I had to make sure that your campaign scoring guide didn't infringe on anything. Had to make sure it was unique.
Maybe you should have read it closer.
Ooh. No, that was fun. I'm looking forward to running through Cortana with you.
I think that'll be the rematch.
We'll see
what happens. I'll play. I will make sure I play as the chief, and we'll see if you feel like there's a difference.
I
wouldn't put money on the victor of that. It's too unpredictable. Even on multiple runs through it, you're like, I think I need to go left here, and you go left and something bursts on you, and you just don't know.
I still get lost.
I actually feel pretty good about knowing my way through it. Sketches.
I know my way through it, but you just never know
Luke's
what each
one is going to
do. Luke's
got some really good speed runs
time,
down
so.
Now. He's really good at just making it in fast.
It's like pulling a Band-Aid off.
I don't know about points, though. Your method's just about getting through and not killing stuff.
My method's about you can skip this, you can skip this. These won't come after you.
There's some interesting little tricks you could probably pull on that mission, like running ahead, aggroing everything, and then using your active camo.
Who would know?
I don't know, we'll see.
I'll be playing a lot of Cortana.
I can't believe you're gonna make me play that mission again.
Well, if the fans demand it, maybe there'll be a rematch someday.
I'll do it for the fans, man.
Or maybe
a team
challenge.
We could
It'll be if cool. We do teams, it'll have to be like legendary seven skulls or something
in order
to be
course,
what's
man.
Your point?
All right, sack up.
I told you even the other day, I'm not feeling like blind, dude. This is an iron kind of night. And you're like, no, dude, let's go blind.
I've never seen as much fear in Luke's eyes as...
I know you do have a spell
weeks.
Over
and
him,
and even right now,
I miss.
He's
humbled.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And well, the thing is, like at this point, I lost, so I don't get to leave a note on my locker. It's like I lost, and I've got to cope with that.
Here's a great thing when we're trying to, you know, schedule this podcast and stuff, and I'm giving Luke shit the other day when I was at your desk, and I'm like, yeah, dude, you need to send me a schedule. Luke's, I don't operate on schedules. What's a schedule? I'm like, well, you know, if you can't work schedules, you can't work here. And he was like, what? And then like 10 minutes later, I had a schedule.
Plus. Yeah,
schedule plus.
I think
in
you
my
said,
inbox.
Just being semi-good at Halo isn't enough to keep your job.
No, he said just being a great Halo player isn't enough.
No, but that's no,
I,
the
I
case,
definitely
okay.
did not say great Halo player.
I'm pretty sure that's what it said.
Being a moderately competent Halo player is not enough to keep your job.
Being just okay isn't enough.
And he's like, shit, I need to learn how to use Outlook now.
Yeah, and then Frank showed me my manager.
You've been a great mentor in that regard, you know?
Yeah,
you've really given Luke a lot of growth.
He's done
and
a
coaching
lot more,
for the past 5 months.
A lot more than my manager has.
Why is that keep that keeps coming up in here every time I'm up here? Luke's
there's
always
some
like
issues.
He's like, my manager.
When you have a whole separate
he
grudge
doesn't
match.
Treat you. Yeah, I know.
I showed
you guys should
Luke
do a podcast
for
your,
today.
You guys should do a podcast for your next one-on-one.
Yeah, take the whole thing like a
performance
therapy
review.
Session.
Yeah.
All right, let's do that.
Put it on iTunes, man.
Oh God,
that'd be great.
Yeah. Frank doesn't want most of our games on iTunes.
No, I'd like to put you. We can put our very latest game on iTunes right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, Swords with Nothing on the Map. What a great show that'll be.
Yeah, what was the score? I forgot.
It was 15-13.
Well, who got 15?
Oh, with eight grenade kills on a swords match. Makes sense.
A beautiful
there
state.
You go. Nice. There's the qualifiers.
Plasma party hat.
That's fine.
There you go.
All right. Well,
those times when there was one pair of feet in the sand. Frank, that was me carrying you.
I don't even understand what it means.
I don't know.
I don't either.
Next time Luke calls for a hot seat, we'll remember.
All right. Well, I think that's enough for this week. It's like an 18-hour show, 150 megabytes, and
$1 billion of bandwidth.
Sweet. Yeah, that sucks. Now that we're
coming
paying
soon,
for it.
Advertisers.
The Bungie
this segment
studios.
Brought to you by Steinlager.
Sweet.
Maybe maybe some other FPS guys will sponsor. You know, maybe we can get that.
Some what?
Other FPS developers would probably buy ads on our show. It's same audience.
That's true, actually. Yeah. Orange
Box. In stores now, Orange Box.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
When you need a break from Halo 3, before you go back to playing Halo 3, try Orange Box.
Exactly. So what do we got to look forward to in the future? We're going to do a video.
We got the video. Yeah, we'll do a video.
I love how Paul wants to get all your commitments on tape. Totally.
I love piling work on Luke because he gets so stressed out, man.
Yeah.
Like anything that requires planning or thought beforehand, it's just his face gets red and you go over by his desk and his hands are just sweating.
He's literally
shaking.
Sweating right now.
I know.
He
I'm
is sweating.
Like getting stressed out
he's
right
like,
now.
Ever since you walked in.
I'm a pretty intimidating guy, right?
Yeah. We will be back next week. If you have positive feedback, send it to Brian and Frank. You can send me feedback, but at this point, everything's asking about the recon helmet, so I don't really read my messages. Nice. Brian and Frank read all theirs, though.
Right.
Oh, yeah, sure. All 1,000 of them currently unread in my box.
And Paul Bertone doesn't tell anyone his Xbox Live stuff, and we will keep it that way.
So by the time this show is out, the film will be on the file share?
Yeah, by
the
time...
And the BungieNet video is sometime soon around there.
All it's right. Hopefully shortly thereafter, but we have to sort out the logistics.
And will they go to Bungie Favorites, or will they go to your own, to your file
it'll
share?
It'll be in Bungie Favorites.
All right, wow.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Top billing.
Excellent. Yep,
of course. Nothing less for Bertone.
Yes.
He'll probably need some comfort next week anyway after the Cowboys beat the Patriots.
Oh, not going to happen.
Well, we'll
Not
find
gonna
out.
Happen.
And we'll see everyone soon.
Right on.
The Bungie Studios podcast is mixed and mastered by Steve Lopez, produced by Tom Giaconda and Chris Gossett, and hosted by Brian Gerard, Frank O'Connor, Luke Smith, and Bungie Studios.